Now, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, they had understanding of the times, folks, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. But what's key, what I want to point out, is that these were men, these children, they knew the times that they were in, and they knew what they should be doing as Israelites. That's very important. They didn't know what they should do because they were just in the world. They were in the world, but they were Israelites, and they had a different responsibility. And these folks, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, King James Version. These children of Issachar, they were not concerned about what the social climate was around them. They were not concerned with anything that was going on around them. They knew the times they were in, and they knew what they should be doing because they were Israelites. They had an anointing to know the times that they were in. We don't have that anointing. You know why? We don't need it. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. Look at John 16, verse 13. Familiar passage. Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So as born-again Christians, we don't need a unique anointing to know the times we're in. The Holy Ghost will make it plain. These are the days that you're in. And as the church, this is what you should be doing. Just like the children of Issachar, we should pay no attention to the social climate, but put all our attention in what we should be doing as Christians. As Christians. In Mark 16, beginning at verse 9, in the Message Bible, after rising from the dead, Jesus appeared early on Sunday morning to Mary Magdalene, whom he had delivered from seven demons. She went to his former companions. And this next part made no sense. Now weeping and carrying on. Just weeping and having a big crying, woe is me, what are we going to do now, fit. Why were they doing that? Why were they crying and weeping? Because they believed the social climate. And the social climate was, Jesus is dead. He's dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. And he's not just dead, he's been dead 3 days. We buried him. So you took that lifeless body off the cross and believed that there was no life in it. You buried it and believed it was going to stay buried. Even though he told us that after 3 days he would rise. He told us, yep, I'm going to be lied on. Yep, I'm going to be killed. Yep, I'm going to be buried. Yep, I'm going to hell. But after 3 days, I'm coming back. The world was saying, nuh-uh. We've taken care of this problem. And the disciples were believing that social climate. And it brought them grief to the point where not only were they weeping and crying, but they were filled with unbelief. It says so right here. It says they didn't believe her. In verse 12 and 13, it says, later he appeared, but in a different form, to two of them out walking in the countryside. They went back and told the rest, but they weren't believed either. Jesus says, I got to do something about this. Because what I'm about to give them requires that they believe under every type of circumstance they could ever come under. So verse 14 says, still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief, refusing to believe those who had seen him raised up. Now, this is a little deeper, folks. And I've shared this with you before. These folks, they just weren't filled with unbelief. They had stubborn unbelief. Stubborn unbelief says, I don't care what you show me, I'll never believe that. And that's the place where they were. People who they know and respected came and said, he's risen. We've seen him. He's risen just like he said. I don't believe that. Oh, so you're calling him a liar? He lied to you? How does that benefit him lying to you? You should think about that. So I'm going to have fun with them. I'm going to tell them I'm going to be killed and I'm going to come back. Well, if it wasn't true, how's he going to laugh? He's dead. But they were filled with stubborn unbelief, and Jesus knew that the work that he was about to commission us to do will require that we believe under absolutely any circumstance that ever shows up, we have to stay faithful to what we believe. We have to stay faithful to what we believe he said. And that's not going to happen if you're filled with stubborn unbelief. So he had to get it out of them. And once he did that, then he said, in Mark 16, verse 9, to Mark 16, the Message Bible, I'm not quite sure where the passage is, but he said to them, go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. I need to insert here what he did not say. He didn't say, go into some of the world and preach God's good news if they allow it to those whom you feel led to do so. You don't need to feel led when you've been given orders. Your orders are your leading. It should be like this. There's a person. Do you know my Savior? No. Well, let me tell you about my Savior and how he wants to be your Savior also. Let me tell you about that. They just woke up to someone and said, I know it's not going to happen, but if you died right now, where do you think you'd go? People say, I'm going to get the police. You're talking this crazy. And I said, that won't work. We gave them a pie. will see someone say, Lord, should I minister to them salvation? He already said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go everywhere, announce the message of God's good news to one and all. That's why the doors of the church are open, so people can come in and they can hear the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. It's not your job to make them believe. It's your job to share the gospel. And then it's the Holy Ghost who gets working in them and they'll believe. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. And our attitude should be, we don't want anybody to be damned. Then he said, these are some of the signs. That's why I like the Message Bible, because let us know these aren't the only signs. These are just some of them that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. One day, my wife and I were going to go to Walmart. And because we don't like the local Walmart, I'll just say that. And so we just were driving to another Walmart that was almost a half an hour away. Saturday, you're driving with your best friend. Why not? And we're in this Walmart, and we had to return an item. So my wife was, I think we were walking around the store. I was on the line, the return line. Yeah. And there was this lady, and the words that were coming out of her mouth, I mean, if I could repeat it, I'd have to say foul, 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 profane, profane, foul, profane, mean. And I'm standing online, and I'm like, what is wrong with her? The person is trying to help, trying to explain things, but this person was just being obstinate and cruel and hateful and hurtful. And I'm there. And God said to me, you need to lay hands on her for her healing. Of course she's miserable. She's in pain. She's got some mental stuff going on because of what she's going through. And I said, God, you know, I don't walk up to any female, and my wife's not here. He said, she's right over there. Go get her. Because you are ministering to someone. In Walmart. Talking about going everywhere, preaching the gospel to everybody, to anybody. And when Deacon Phyllis finished, I told her what happened. We walked over to the lady. Her whole countenance changed. Whole countenance changed. We prayed, laid hands on her, and she was just as happy could be. But God had to correct me because I was judging her based on her actions, and too many of us fall into that same hole. We look at someone, we don't think that there's got to be something going on with them for them to act like that. We think they're just mean, they're of the devil. Okay, well, if that's what you really believe, they're of the devil, you have the authority, you've been instructed to cast out demons. So why in letting that person stay victim of the devil? No, it's an excuse. And we're out of excuses, folks, because of the times that we're in. Hebrews 10:37 in the King James Version says, "For yet in a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry." In the Message Bible, I find it a little more compelling. It says, it's still a sure thing, but you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. Now listen to this. He said, it won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. He'll show up most any minute. And say, well, I don't really believe that, you know, he's coming soon. I know he's coming again, but I don't believe that he's coming soon. Well, first of all, we don't know what soon means. Soon is like due season. When it happens, it happens. And we don't know whose soon it's going to be. Is it going to be our soon? Or is it going to be our parents soon? We don't know. All we know is that the Bible says he's on the way. So whatever distance he has to come, he's already started the journey. Matthew 24. Listen to this. Verses 3 to 15 in the Passion Translation. When they arrived at the Mount of Olives, his disciples came privately to where he was sitting and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what sign should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age?" Jesus answered, pay close attention to what he said. "At that time," what time? The time to signal the coming of the end of this age. "At that time, deception will run rampant." Do we know the times we're in? "So beware that you are not fooled. Many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, 'I am the anointed one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. I have the right plan.' You will hear of wars." Hear of any? "Revolutions on every side." I know the King James says rumors of wars. It says, "with more rumors of wars to come. And people are having a fit." But Jesus said, "Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world's systems," plural, "is destined to happen. But it won't be the end. It will still be unfolding. Nations will go to war against nations and kingdom against kingdoms." And that word "nations" also means races. "And there will be terrible earthquakes, horrible epidemics, and famines in place after place." Now, I did some study on that. You know I did. The National Earthquake Information Center reports that they locate 20,000 globally each year. It's an average of 55 earthquakes a day. But I found two more stats that were really interesting. The number of earthquakes have been increasing in oil-producing regions. And populated areas that have never had earthquakes are now having them. I don't have to go into detail about epidemics. But let's take a look at famines. According to the United Nations, there are four countries experiencing famine-like conditions: Ethiopia, Madagascar, Southern Sudan, and Yemen. There's concern about Nigeria and Burkina Faso, which is in West Africa, as they have pockets where famine-like conditions are present. The two United Nations agencies, the Food and Agricultural Organization and the World Food Program, report that 41 million people in 43 countries are teetering on the very edge of famine, which is up from 27 million only 2 years ago. Famines, there will be famines in place after place. He said, this is how, verse 8, this is how the birth pangs of the new age will begin. Verse 9. Please pay attention to this. You can expect to be persecuted. They don't like us. You can expect to be persecuted, even killed. For you will be hated by all the nations because of your love for me. And it's not that the people of the nations will hate you, will hate us, but demonic activities over that region will do hate us because we have the truth. And if we come, that nation will be made free. So yes, most of the times you get ready to go out and minister, something's going to come up to try and stop you. Expect it. Because, and I need to read it, the verse doesn't say because, it says then, but I want to say because you'll be hated of all nations, many will stop following me and fall away. They're going to look at those who they know are Christian special forces and see us backing down, they're going to assume this Jesus stuff must not be true. And they'll stop following and fall away, and they'll betray one another and hate one another. They're going to hate us because what we said we're not doing. So they don't think it's true. Why did you make me believe this nonsense? We have to act like he's too good to not believe. And they need to see it. And many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes and leading them away from the path of truth. And there will be such an increase of sin, of the sin of lawlessness, that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. We've seen that. We call them peaceful demonstrations. But hold your hope firmly to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. But look at verse 14. Everyone say, praise the Lord for verse 14. It says, yet through it all, the good news of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after that, the end of this age will arrive. See, the church have the responsibility to be the place where everybody can come and see a demonstration of the reality of God. In other words, they need to come here, they need to come into your presence and get a demonstration that God is real. Yes. that he is real. That he is real, not was real. He is real. In the midst of all the chaos, sin running rampant, earthquakes, famines, plagues, all of that stuff, if you stay faithful to who you say you are in Christ, you will be the ones giving the demonstration to the people that God is real. Like that song, he's real, he's real. I'm not going to sing the rest because you'll leave. It'll be like that song we sang during praise and worship. He's too good to not believe. But there's some things that we have to do to make sure that we're in that, in the right, we're positioned properly. There's a mindset we have to develop and maintain so that we can always be aware of the times that we're in and what we should be doing about the times we're in as Christians. So we don't like this scripture, but we have to do it anyway. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. We'll share it in the Amplified and the Passion Translation because they have key words in them. No soldier in active service gets entangled in the ordinary business affairs of civilian life. He avoids them. I want you to come to this meeting. What's this meeting about? No, I'm sorry. I'm not going there. Why not? I'm special forces. We don't go to those kind of meetings. That's not on God's agenda. But listen to how God gave me this, what I'm about to share with you concerning the Passion Translation scripture. He gave me this when I was sitting in my office this morning. Passion Translation says, for every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. If you don't divorce yourself from this world, you will not be able to satisfy the one who sent you, the one who chose you. And this is what God said. So I'm going to read it word for word the way he gave it to me. That means there must be a permanent legal separation for something you may have given your life for, something you plan to have for the rest of your life, something you could not see yourself without. If it's not related to our kingdom responsibilities as ambassadors, we got to let it go. When he said divorce, that means that's something that you wanted to be attached to, something that you were attached to, something that you will plan to always be attached to. God is saying, it's in the way, let it go. If you don't let it, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The doors to the church are open. When people come in, they can't see a bunch of unstable folks. They need to see folks, as Elder Bill used to say, that are on point. They're right on point. That's why we spent so long talking about your first priority is the spirit dimension and setting all your relationships right. First priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First. What do I do second? It never tells us about second or third or fourth. Why? We're so busy with being doing the first, there's no time for anything else. Oh, good. Matthew 11. This is why This is one of the whys we need to know the seasons that we're in. We need to know the times we're in and what we should be doing as Christians. Because Jesus gave an invitation in Matthew 11, verse 20 and 29, the Passion Translation. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life. He didn't say, I'll tell you what a raggedy sinner you are. He said, for I am your oasis, not your worst nightmare. I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please, and you'll find refreshment in me. So we know that Jesus said that he is gentle, humble, easy to please, and he'll provide refreshment for you. That's what Jesus said he would do. 2 Corinthians 5 in the Passion Translation, very familiar passages, starting with verse 17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. When we refuse to open up and let the people come in the way they are, we're saying we want you to stay the way you are. We don't want you to become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. So it doesn't matter if you used to see them homeless or drinking wine or doing drugs on the street. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not keeping records of their transgressions, and he has entrusted us to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We have to remember verse 20. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So he expects tender words to the people to come through our lips. You need to forget that old adage, I got to show them tough love and let them know if they keep doing what they... You don't represent yourself. So I don't care what you think should happen. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf, turn back to God and be reconciled. Now, there was a footnote. I don't always share the footnotes, even though I read every one, but I'm going to share this one. To be ambassadors for Christ means that we are his diplomatic agents of the highest rank, sent to represent King Jesus and authorized to speak on his behalf. Folks, when you are speaking for someone, you don't have the right to say whatever you want to say. And I have to add, or do whatever you want to do. You don't have the right to speak what you want. We're the voice of heaven to the earth. And we've been invested with royal power through the name of Jesus and the authority of his blood. Even Jesus said in John 12, verse 49 and 50 in the Passion Translation, for I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but I speak by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who instructed me what to say. And I know that my Father's commands result in eternal life, and that's why I speak the very words I heard him speak. That's why you'll hear me say, Lord, I'm only going to say those things that you tell me to say. Because I'm up here representing him. I don't have a right to give you my own opinion. The only right I have is to say to you what Father is telling me to say to you. See, folks, when we don't, this is what God told me. It was around 2:45 this morning. If I don't say exactly what he tells me to say, it cheapens the message. If I pull punches, it weakens the message. And it can prevent someone from receiving the word, because if I don't use full force and pull back, the word may not penetrate through all the stuff that the hearer is going through, and change won't occur. We can't afford to pull punches. We can't afford to water it down. We have to say the words that Jesus told us to say the way he tells us to say them, because he knows what it will take to reach that person. We don't. We don't. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. He said, come unto me all, not come unto me some. The Message Bible says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I could say, show me this Jesus right now. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The doors of the church are open, folks. And people are going to come tired, worn out, and burned out. And they're going to be acting like they're tired, worn out, and burned out. And God, look, think about this. God loved them so much, and he was so concerned for them, he sent them here. Why? Because he created a place where the love of God, where his love is evident, where his word is taught, where his spirit is directing, and where his power is manifested. Why? Because he wants the people to see a demonstration that he is real. That he is real. So we can't react to how people are. I'm going to close, not a couple of seconds, but I need you to know I'm approaching the runway. That's why Paul prayed the Ephesians prayer. Passion Translation. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited, say unlimited, riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover that every Holy One experience experiences the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. How deeply intimate, how far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. We're not going to understand how we can love so deeply and so endlessly. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. The King James says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Why do we have to comprehend that? Why is that so important? Because when the people come, and they're going to come, all ye that are tired and weary and burned out, you don't know how deep or how deeply they've been affected. So your superficial stuff may not be good enough. We need to comprehend that the love of Christ in us is endless. It has no boundaries. None. It doesn't matter how thick, how long, how deep, or how high it is. God sent the people, and he expects us to reach them. So we have to understand the full measure of God's love to know that we can go down as deep as necessary, even if we have to pass through hell itself. We can go that deep to get them out. It doesn't matter how wide, how thick, how tall, none of that matters if we understand that we are filled with the fullness of God's love. And just like his love has no boundaries, no dimensions with us, so it should be with those that he's sending. And again, sending doesn't just mean to 145 West Route 59. It means wherever you may find yourself, he's going to make sure people find you. Why? Because they need a demonstration of the reality of God. Or I should say, or another way to say it is, they need to know God is real. And God chose you and me to be his ambassadors, along with countless others. Being an ambassador for Christ is our responsibility. Come to me. That's what God is saying, Jesus is saying in the Message Bible's version of Matthew 11. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. That's what he's saying. I won't lay anything heavy on you. I won't say anything or any ill-fitting on you. I won't say things that you can't swallow, you can't handle. You keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. As ambassadors for Christ, that's our responsibility. And also, he does not expect us to judge them. He only expects us to love them the same way he loves us. We need to understand that. It has no limits. Never doubt. Ephesians 3:20 in the Passion Translation says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve indefinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Constantly. Now, all of you know me. I'm about to become Pastor Greg. Because I was like, okay, God, I need something simple that'll help people understand. I need to say something to them that will stay in their minds. They'll think about it and they'll remember. And he said, "You want me to use your humor?" I said, "If that's the way you want to do it." So with apologies to Diana Ross, Gladys Knight, Marvin Gaye, no wind, no rain, no winter's cold can stop us. When they call us, we call on Jesus' name. And the way that he loves us, we'll love them the same. We know we must follow the Son wherever he leads. But if you should fall short of his desire, he gave you a guarantee. He said, "You'll always have me. And all your past has been erased, so no sickness, no disgrace. It was all nailed to the tree. So when the enemy of your soul does come to try and sift you with sweet, at my name, he'll have to bow his knee. I'll never leave you or forsake you because of what I told you on the day I made you free. Just remember, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep my love from you." Just remember what he told you the day he made you free. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. One translation says, I will not in any way relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Why? Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep him from us. The scripture says nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing, say nothing, can ever separate me from the love of God. There ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep him from me. Tell your neighbor, I believe that. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. You are God, and you're too good to not believe. So we believe every single word. Every single word we believe. Thank you that you've opened the doors to the church. And you're trusting us with the people that come through the doors. Thank you that you reign on the just and the unjust. So whether it's someone needing salvation, a believer needing direction or strengthening, our doors are open. Our hearts are open. We will receive them in your name. And we'll do and say to them and for them exactly what you tell us to do and say. Nothing more, nothing less, or nothing else. So we thank you, Father, for the trust that you've shown, you've demonstrated to us, towards us. And we commit, Lord, we commit to you that when the people come, they will see a demonstration that you are real. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is there anyone here, if there's anyone here or out there online, and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, now is your time. The doors of the church are open. They've been open, and they're staying open. And they're open for such a time as this, so we could come, increase our knowledge, get built up in the Word, get a better understanding of who we are, but we're also here to snatch you out of the depth of hell and place you right smack in the middle of the kingdom of God. We want to get you in a position where you spend eternity with God. And we love you so much, nothing is more important than what we're doing right now. So I'd like everyone to make this short confession. Father God, I believe that you're God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in the tomb. I believe he went to hell. And I believe after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. And he's seated at your right side, and he's about to come again soon. So Jesus, I turn to you, and I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. The doors to me are open to you. I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, friends, if you made that confession for the first time, for the 11th time, what's important is that you believed it in your heart. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. That's all you have to do. So if you're here in the sanctuary, I need you, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Because what I'm going to do is send you with our deacons, and they're going to give you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. And if you're watching online, there's contact information. Please use it, and we'll do the same thing. We'll send you the same information. And if you have any questions about anything that I've shared or anything that you're feeling now that you've received Christ, use the same contact information and write me or contact me. I will get back to you. It probably won't be the same day, but I promise you, I will get back to you. Amen? Amen. And don't forget. Don't you ever forget. Learn, comprehend the depth of God's love towards you, so that you can then extend that same love to one another.